So we're talking about that there was a big trip in 19, you probably know about this, 1988, 89, was a big trip, the first big trip to Oman, legal big trip to Oman. It's a very interesting story. Shmuel Shapiro also, it was the year that he died. Tafshin Mem, the Rosh Hashanah Tafshin Mem Tes.
He was there twice.
Yeah, it's the second time he was there. It was very sick. Most of these trips to Oman, when it was illegal, it was problematic, big time. Each person that came, tourist that came into the state, they had
people
who is to guide them. And guide their footsteps exactly where they're going and what they're doing. In big Russia, each tourist was a spy. That's how they start. So getting a visa to go in was a miracle. Just the beginning of the problems, right? Because even once you got to Moscow, to Leningrad, to Kiev, anywhere. Doesn't mean you can't go. You can go to Oman because the visa gave you permission only to certain cities, and not the other cities. And you couldn't be in another city without having permission to be in the other city. Even people who lived in Russia couldn't sleep in another city without having permission. So there were certain cities that Great Russia, Big Russia, wanted to show, and there were certain cities that did not want to show. Oman was one of the places where they did not want tourists to come. It was very poor. There wasn't roads, nothing. It was very like, still they lived at the end of the 1900s, they lived like the beginning of the 1900s. Amash. They had electricity already. But Ezra could tell you that when he was in Oman 25 years ago, there was still, you're probably also there, they were still pumping water from the thing. There was no water running in the houses.
They had water twice a week, for an hour a day. I think they still do, I don't know. Because when we're there, we rent the waterworks. So we don't know, we don't notice it. But it could be that all year round, it's only a couple hours a day. I was in Moscow, international airport at the capital.
When?
4 or 5 years, I was there this year also, but not. Maybe 4 or 5 years ago, he went into the toilets. There was no running water. People made and they just sat there. He was going to say, it's crazy.
And it is, they're very like that.
The capital city, the international airport.
They have a good airline.
Okay, we're coming to look.
Kiev,
there were little, like, 10 watt bulbs. We had to stand there for 2 hours while they checked your passport. Little, like 3 or 4 and a big, like the base of memory downstairs. And a whole area, maybe 4 or 5 little. Crazy.
Yeah, now they're for a nicer than kid.
It's in all other words, it's like you walk into a dungeon. There's no lights, no nothing. And each guy, they looked for 10 minutes. 10-15 minutes, take off your hat, this, that, and then he sat there writing stuff.
This is after the communism.
Huh?
After communism.
Yeah, both also, right. A few years like that.
And who's the one who really broke the way to Oman? Abdallah Shmita.
He's the one who really broke the way. There was a few that went, but he made it big that everyone will go. Everyone will go. That's what Rosh Moshe Shapiro admired very much of Lezer Berlan Shlita. Yeah, so in the middle of the 1980s, Gorbachev became the president, and he started breaking their whole thing there over there. Until 1990, all. Yeah. But really, the real what's it called? The revolution.
Not revolution, but
the real turnaround wasn't there. It was in Uman by the best of Hasidim. You'll see why. You hear the story, unbelievable. Yeah, so in the beginning, when Gorbachev became the president, right in the beginning, already there were ways to get into Russia more. That rest of us were able to use those holes to get into, to go to Uman. In 1987, there was a communist party here in Israel, and the head of the communist party, his name was Meir Vilner. He told Rav Lezer Berland that he'll be able to organize for him a visa to go to Uman. A visa to go to Uman, that was the first. Right? That was one. In 1989, it was still communist Russia, was already falling apart. They gave visas to 260 people. Most of them were Israelis. That Israel was out of the question regarding American, maybe European. That they were all Israelis, original passports, to go into the top. There were only 260 permits, so of course everyone wanted to go. How do you choose who goes? So there was a few few conditions who will go. First, someone who was never there. Second, and Brestov was very small then, it's not like now. First, someone who's never there. Second, a kid who's under 7 with his father. And before all of these people, Ziknei Anash, the older people of Anash, of Breslov. So Shmuel Shapira, he married to go. This is the first time there was a kibbutz in Uman after 80 years. 80 years there was nothing. After 80 years, this is the first time there was a kibbutz. What? Israelis? Jews?
Yeah.
Of course. They have a school there, really. So 1989, it was the last Rosh Hashanah in Rav Shmuel's life. A half year before he was Nifter. And he had Parkinson, was very, very, very taking over his body. He couldn't move at all. Every movement caused him a lot of pain. In those days, his son, Rav Mendel, Rav Moshe Mendel Shapira, I learn with him every night in the Koilin, and he lives in the same Koilin with me, he came and he said, you want to come, but you know, it's a very difficult situation over there, and the ride and everything. Shmuel said to me, he told him immediately, I'm going. I don't care, yes, no, I'm going. And the body, I don't care about it. I have to go to Uman. Because in Uman, that's where life is. Later, when his grandson went up to see if really he's serious about the fact that he wants to go to Uman, so he told him, my whole life I yearned to be in Uman on Rosh Hashanah. I did a lot of things to be in Uman. For Rosh Hashanah, I never had an opportunity on Rosh Hashanah. And now, if there's an opportunity and people are willing to drag me there, I'm not going to let myself be dragged. So drag me, so I can't move, so what? That was the most amazing end for his life. We'll see now the story, we'll see how amazing it is. This trip must symbolize the end of 70 years of communism. And for weeks before the trip, Rav Shmuel couldn't talk to him about anything else, just about going to Uman. And he couldn't do anything. He was so excited, he couldn't do anything. Until his wife, the Rebbetzin, Shmuel's wife, she said that no one's allowed to talk to him about it. No one's allowed to talk with him about the trip. He can't function when you talk to him about the trip. If you want to talk about the trip, only in the kitchen, quietly, where you can't hear. Even though he decided 100% he's going, still, there were a few of the sons that said, no way, we're killing him by a dime. We can't let him go. So his brother-in-law, Ruben Krishevsky, heard this, his cousin. He tried to convince him in every possible way not to let him go. But when they saw that there's no way to change his mind, so they decided that Rav Shmuel will go with a few of his children, and they'll take care of him the whole way. So they out of 260, there were a bunch that had so a few seats were stayed also for his sons. Ruben Krishevsky, his cousin, saw how Rav Shmuel, who has such mesilas nefesh, he came in with, he was crying, he had forgiveness that in the beginning when he first got married, Rav Shmuel first got married, he gave him a lot of troubles that he became a breslover. And now they see that he was a real person, Amash, all the way. He asked forgiveness from that. And he asked Rav Shmuel to stay forgiveness by Rabbeinu Tzion. Rav Shmuel promised them that if I can't take it, on the way, we'll turn around, and one of the staff over will turn around and go back to Israel. So they started planning the big trip. So they got a visa, and they took a picture of him, which he always against pictures, but of course, if we're going to Albania, he'll do it. And when he told them, they came to take the picture in his home, because he was sick, so he fixed his payas and everything was so perfect. Am I okay? Exactly. Because he's going to Aveinu. He has to do it the most proper way. So, tomorrow we'll talk about something that met tomorrow on Thursday. I almost canceled the trip.